Hey, this is Church's Liam, and I'm Scott.
And I'm Mark.
So every week we pull some headlines out of the news to talk about why churches don't have the best reputation. So without further ado, Mark, why don't you get this this train rolling?
All right. So there's this dude. His name is Brent Dusing or Dussing. And he founded a new, and I put this in heavy air quotes, Christian gaming platform, and it's called True Play, because, you know, everything Christian has to have the most obvious possible name to it. It's like the world needs another gaming, you know, streaming gaming platform or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like its intended design is that it's going to offer, you know, not just games, but also things like comics and maybe some like shows, but like focusing kind of upfront on gaming, you know, for the Christian audience. And just before you have anything to say, I just want to say, like, the inspiration that this guy offers in this article was this. He says, and this is a quote, it says, 52 and a half hours is the average amount of time a child spends on a screen. They're only at church 30 minutes a week. And yeah, I'm like, who goes to church for 30 minutes?
Yeah. So already we've taken some interesting turns in this path that we're on. Okay. So first of all, let's talk about the obvious thing.
Like, yeah.
True Play. Was that really the best name we could come up with? Because the word is the truth. The truth is the word. And True Play is neither the word or the truth. It's a gaming platform.
Right there with Pure Flicks.
Oh, my gosh. And I don't know. So I took only the briefest of visits to the True Play website. let's just say that the bench of games is not incredibly deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gimmick in all of them is that during the gameplay, there's obvious lessons of morality that are solved through remembering your biblical lessons, right? The importance of prayer, the armor of God, all that kind of stuff have heavy doses of that are in all the gameplay. So really, the games are simply just a third-rate version of what the good games are, with way too much non-gameplay stuff in there for any kid to find it much fun.
Yeah, and I suspect that there's like probably better Christian theming in Warhammer 40K than there is going to be on anything on this platform.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Warhammer 40,000 is, just go look it up.
It's crushing right now. Both in the marketplace of money and the marketplace of ideas in gaming.
Yeah. But like, as I was reading this, I'm like, okay, well, who the heck is Brent Dusing? I really should have looked up how to pronounce his name, because I feel kind of bad. I'm probably destroying it so badly.
Yeah, but that's like 60 seconds of your life you can't get back, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, you know, I had more important things to do today, like, you know, start writing a sermon. So
there you go.
You know, little things like this just couldn't hold up. But like it's weird to me. Like, it looks like a weird cash grab, because I mean, just like on its face, it's completely unnecessary. But then like this dude, like he manages a venture capital firm. A Christian themed venture capital firm. But so this just looks like an investment that he's just kind of retconning Christianity back onto. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I'm just saying from my vantage point, right?
Yeah, no, I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? But just because you make any vertical, take any vertical you want. I don't care if it's manufacturing, if it's writing books, if it's a product or service. Just by slapping Jesus on it does not make it better, does not make it holier, does not make it sacred, does not make it moral, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes it a product with Jesus branded on it, you know? So if anything, all you've done is commodified something that should never be commodified, right?
Yeah. And like, I'm kind of afraid too, because like, like there's that culture war element to this. And it's the same thing with pure flicks, right? It's just that like we want to make Christian content for Christians basically. And that's kind of all it is.
Yeah.
But like the thing is that like when you're talking about like there's this 52 and a half hours is the amount of time kids spend on screen, your games aren't going to be able to do much to like move people on the Christian needle. And I mean, like this requires, you know, relationships, good parenting, you know, like church with youth programs, you know, of some kind, you know, that are going to engage the youth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing about the 52 and a half hours is you can't force your kid to do something they don't want to do for 52 and a half hours on their small screen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're just going to turn it off and go to YouTube. They're just going to turn it off and go to, what am I thinking of? The chat program.
Snapchat?
Or... No, not Snapchat. The one that everybody's on. What am I thinking of? Nah. Ah, come on.
Yeah, I really don't know this
one. Hold on. Yes, you do. I just had a brain fart at the moment. Hold on here. Because I probably have it here. Let's see here. Do I have it? No, I don't. You know, the one that's kind of like Microsoft Teams?
No idea.
Oh my gosh. Why am I drawing a blank right now? Yeah, I mean, Discord.
Discord,
right? Like, okay, I can chat with my friends and people that I think are cool and people who have similar interests with me on Discord, or else I can play a really lame game that my parents want me to play. You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and that's just the thing about it. It's like kids aren't going to choose this, just like on their own. Like this is really like for really Christian parents who are already uptight.
Yeah.
Like that's who this platform is designed for. It's not designed for the actual game consumer.
Right. This is designed for the same people who are like, I was homeschooled. My wife was homeschooled, and we turned out okay, which they did. I've got friends who are homeschooled and I love them and I respect them. Right. But it's that mentality that's like the more we can insulate ourselves from the world, the better off we'll be. And that may be true for you. The problem is it runs counter to what the Bible says, is that we are to rush into the world, you know, that we are to be involved in the world and we are to make change in the world. And you can't make change in the world if you insulate yourself from it.
Yeah, and when it comes to entertainment, it's like that's a weird field anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, like we have J.R.R. Tolkien and we have C.S. Lewis, right, who wrote books who have a wide audience appeal. I mean, I know atheists who've read these things, right? So it's like,
yeah,
like these are Christians who did something that was good enough for the culture to go, oh, I need that. Right. And like this, as I'm sure it's going to be the same thing as Pure Flix, which is going to be that while it's going to have like some of those movies like Fireproof, like which you can see on things like Amazon.
Right.
It's going to have like those movies that are kind of worth watching.
Right.
But then it's going to be like the Hallmark Channel, where it's going to be just like a lot of low rent content that really isn't good enough to get to other platforms.
Exactly.
And I don't think that helps the Christian message at all. Like if you want to make a game that's going to reach like a wide Christian audience, like make something like Book of Eli, right? Like that's a movie. It's not specifically Christian movie, but it has a lot of Christian themes. Like you could make a game out of that. It's gonna be a lot like Fallout perhaps, but I mean, it's like, you can add those games. Like you can add that content. You can add those themes. You can have that message in popular content.
Exactly. And what you're really saying is if you make something great, whether it's a book or a movie or a game, you don't have to put it on a Christian marketplace because it will kill in the regular marketplace because it's great.
Right.
You know, and that's really what we're coming down to here, is that just make something great. If you want to make it Christian, go ahead and make it Christian, but make it great. And yeah, it'll do just fine.
Yeah, I think that's like the biggest criticism of Christian media in general, is that it could be better.
100%.
You know, and absolutely, I think that kind of goes into like there's like this, like a fix, if there is a fix for this situation, I would say, yeah, just, yeah, make that good content.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to reach people with the gospel, you need to be seeking an audience that is not, you know, already going along with the gospel.
Ding, 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 ding. Give that man a prize. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Right.
We've had some other crazy stories this week. Here's one that caught my eye because it's just so inescapably bad. A pastor admits to selling $3 million in worth of cryptocurrency to Christians.
Okay.
You know, so this is like a whole new level of like taking advantage of your flock, right?
Oh, yeah. My. Like a pastor getting into crypto, like just.
Yeah.
Like, do I like, need to read this article?
Even? No. Like this is a shame on everybody involved. Shame on pastors for hawking this stuff as if it has real value and mm-hmm. isn't an incredibly volatile thing that could go worthless at any time, right? Shame on Christians who claim to be Bible-believing people who are just kind of doing crazy things with their money, hoping to make a quick buck, you know? Like if you are in a mode of your life where you are desperately looking for any way to make a dollar, probably investing in crypto is not the best route to go if you can't afford to lose money.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, of all like just like the shiesty things that you see like televangelists selling, like here's this handkerchief that if you wipe your sweat with it, like you'll make $5 or whatever. Or like, here's an ampule of water from the, and I quote, Jordan River. I didn't know the Jordan River came out of a tap in Sheboygan, but you know,
right.
Like that stuff, at least, like, you know, like what you're getting, even an NFT wouldn't be so horrible as this. It's like this guy was like going for an award.
Yeah. And at least there would be some justification to this. Mm-hmm. And very little. If they turn around and said, okay, we made $3 million and that money went right back out to feed the hungry, house the homeless, mission field stuff, mm-hmm. right? What'd they do? You know, well, they paid taxes. So they were good citizens and paid their taxes, they claim. And then they renovated their house.
Well, I mean, you've got to renovate your house.
Yeah. So don't do that. I mean, we don't need to talk at length about this story. Don't do that. If you're a pastor or a professional ministry, don't sell crypto. You know, you want to sell your sermon on a CD, fine. Mm-hmm. You want to write a book, fine. You know, you want to do like online courses, fine. Like anything but crypto, please. If you're a pastor, do not try to sell people crypto.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would recommend to, like, just any human being, religious or not, don't play with crypto.
There you go, yeah. All right, moving on. Last one to bring us home here. And I found this all over the news, so you don't have to look far for this story. I found it on NPR. That's how it's gotten beyond Christian circles.
Oh, yeah.
An Ohio church is suing the city over not being allowed to house homeless people, right? And so mm-hmm. On the face, the city looks crappy, right? Like, what kind of city doesn't want a church to take care of the homeless people, right? So also, right from the beginning, the city looks kind of bad. In the city's defense, if you don't enforce the laws, then everybody wants a pass, right? so the church is not zoned for this. The church does not have the exceptions to the rules in order to do this. You know, so there are valid reasons for the city to want to come in and say, look, don't do this. You're making headaches for yourself. You're making headaches for us. Mm-hmm. You know, not only are you not following the laws, but I'm sure like your neighbors here probably don't want, you know, a bunch of homeless people driving down, you know, real estate values and bringing more crime to the area. So there are reasons, as crappy as they are, that you shouldn't be doing this, right? But then on top of that, then to be the church that turns around and sues the city again, it's like, what? You just don't care about having a good relationship with the city? You don't care about having a good relationship with your community? What's the point of being there if you don't give a crap about the people around you, but you can kind of just check a bullet off a bullet list, like, hey, we've got some homeless people here. Yeah. Like, you're kind of missing the forest through the trees, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you clearly have, like, a congregation of people that live somewhere. I mean, like, I'm sure that you could manage some sort of workaround. Like, if you can't use the church, like, you can have, you know, parishioners, you know, like, help to provide that housing. But I mean, like,
right,
like, having, like, my church, right, like, we have space, right? Like, you could say, well, you know, we need, like, well, we could set up, you know, beds and have, like, you know, like, pads or something like that, right? And that would be, and that'd be fine for, like, you know, like, a night, a month or whatever. But, like, when you're talking about, like, housing, right? Yeah, like, there's all sorts of stuff you got to think about. And it's like, I would not want to see this church get shut down because they do something. There's, you know, like, there's a lawsuit against them. Maybe there's an insurance issue that the insurance company doesn't cover because they did things the wrong way. You know, it's like, I can't side with the church just off the bat. But I mean, at least, you know, saying we want to house homeless people, like, you're at least aimed in the right direction. Maybe you're not quite hitting the execution, but, like, at least you're trying to do something good.
Yeah, I think there's a very important biblical concept that we should think about in this story, because there's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of abiding, right? A lot of popular definitions of abiding in a Christian sense is the idea of dwelling or remaining or to be present with or to be held and to be kept, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the things we are taught and we learn in our Christian journeys is we want to have that abiding relationship. We want to have an abiding relationship with God. We want to have that abiding relationship with, you know, our spouses and the people of family and friends and with our church members. We want to have these close abiding relationships where we work hand in hand with one another, where we enjoy one another's company, where we look forward to our time together. And this church just seems to be giving a big middle finger to everybody around it.
Yeah.
In order to make really what seems to be a political statement. Like, well, the city's not going to do nothing and the neighbors aren't going to do nothing. So let us show them that we're going to stand in the gap. And I applaud the sentiment, but you deciding to go Lone Ranger on it kind of shows that you're not really kind of grasping the larger reality, and you're only kind of focusing on the smaller reality that's important to you, you know?
Yeah. Cause like you said, like, what city doesn't want to house homeless people? So it's like, like this church did not, I mean, without having to talk to anybody there, if you're suing the city at this stage of the game, you have not exhausted every possible non-litigious solution that you could have pursued.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, like, that seems to be, you know, Christians seem to be more than happy to sue when they can't quite get what they want, which is sad.
Yeah, I think here in 2024, I can't believe it's 2024. Oh my gosh. it seems like the church really has entered in the phase of if you can't beat them, join them. You know, and so no tactic is off the table. You know, there is no longer a need to have a moral standard, an ethical standard, a theological standard. You know, whatever works is what works, and the ends justify the means.
Yeah, it's like, we got to remember, you know, scripture says the meek will inherit the earth. Not that we did.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, you have to remember, like, you know, the world is not ours. We are, for all intents and purposes, strangers in a strange land.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, at least for me, that's been a helpful way of just framing the world. So it's like, if the world doesn't want what Jesus says is good, then I either got to convince them, find a way to work within the world's rules, or I just have to make the choice to defy.
Yeah.
You know, and And the question is by defying, am I doing more for the kingdom, or is that going to cause me to do less for the kingdom?
Right. That's good. I like that. All right. So let's bring this baby home.
All right.
All right. So we're Church is Lame. Every week we pick out stories from the news that kind of answer the question, why don't people take churches seriously anymore? As a matter of fact, there was another headline that I failed to mention, but for the first time ever, the number of Americans who call themselves not particularly spiritual is larger than any other segment of America. Huh. So 28% of Americans now call themselves not particularly spiritual. So we're trying to answer the question, why is that number growing? And this is where we do it. So if you have something to say, by all means, you know, shoot us an email, churcheslamepodcast@gmail.com. We're on YouTube. Leave us a comment. If you listen to the podcast, leave us a rating and a review. We read it all. So bring it on.
And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord. And always remember, the dude abides. Amen.
Dude abides. Amen.